McCarthy, this is... Yeah, this is Jim Fitzgerald here.
I'm glad to hear you.
Yeah, the Nacra History Group, anyway. Yeah, well, you know, we are sort of coming, if you like, now to the end of writing, Mr. McCarthy, because our competition might be over in a week or that way. We're trying to touch us to it. Now, as far as I'm concerned in the IRA history, I've all the individual stories that I could pick up put together at this stage, you know. I'd say it runs to about 50 to 60,000 words, I'd say. You know, that sort of thing. Now, I'm down now to the problem of sort of writing the cover story for the whole thing, you see. And I'm still back trying to get the background to the political situation around 1912, as I was discussing with you before, you see. After the Mollies and the O'Briens and all these, you see. How could one sort of explain, you know, to get give a background now, you see, what the situation was like prior to 1916 and that?
Well, it must have been varied very locally, because, you see, you know, O'Brien ice was strong in Cork.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, well, they definitely were strong around Macraha.
Yes.
There's no question about this, is it?
It was an inter-party rivalry more than anything else, I think.
Is it?
Yes.
But how, you see, after Parnell dying,
yes,
how did the thing develop from there on? They were there.
They were there, and all this was over by about 1900.
Yes.
And then there was one United Party again.
Again.
But in that party there were factions.
Yes.
And one of the notable factions in Cork, largely, was the O'Brienite faction.
Yes.
And that sort of went off, and that went off when Whitman sort of got well in control.
Yes. Well, you see, definitely by around 1913 or 14, the rivalry between both supporters seemed to be fairly strong.
Well, of course, Sinn Féin was coming up then in the inside.
Yeah, but this now would be back again around 1913 or that way, you see.
Yes, yes.
And at that particular period, there was terrible rivalry between the supporters of both. But how could one start to define the difference, if there was any difference?
I don't think there was any real difference. It was a personality difference.
Was it?
It was.
And how did this get down that... that people got so hot about it at grassroots
they
level.
They get very hot about it, because I even remember my mother telling me, you know, about the cries of the aunties and the waddies and all that. It was fairly ephemeral, I think.
Yeah, but one couldn't start to write down any distinct difference.
I don't think you could, no. You'd have to study the newspapers of the period and all that, and unfortunately very little has been done about that.
Is that so?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, no, I was in the other day, I went into the city library to look at the papers gathering around 1916-21 period, you know, and it's on the teleprinter there at that particular period, and it's, of course, it's sort of slow work.
Oh, very slow work.
Going through that.
Yeah,
the problem was I had only one evening to try and get in 5 or 6 years, but one had to try and move through it fairly fast, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was worth the exercise.
Well, that's good.
At the same time, you see. But, you know, I had to try and get through all the years. Now, the other one sort of coming for 1916 and coming to the Easter Rising and that, as far as I could see, you see, I took a photocopy of the editorial on the Cork Examiner on the Monday of Easter week.
Yes.
And then they're certainly speaking a lot about this up-and-coming force, that they were sort of associated with the Coyle and all this sort of thing, you know. But as far as I see...
The war news,
I went through all that. But, no, the only thing I could see, on Tuesday's paper of Easter week, they were all mentioned whatsoever of the Rising in Dublin. At least I couldn't find it in the paper.
No, it took some time before things filtered through.
It was Friday, because I think on Wednesday, the Cork Examiner were more or less talking about the Irish National Teachers Congress that was being held in Cork.
Yes.
This was the issue of, you know.
Yes.
And it was Friday before they had any editorial or any question.
Yes.
Anything, and then they weren't very clear, like, but they certainly made a big denunciation, at least.
Oh, yes. So the Cork County Council passed a resolution against the Rising.
Yeah, that's what you see, and I didn't find this on, and this is of some bit of local interest, that when the Kints of Barnard and Castle Lyons, that time that the raid was made, when the policeman got shot, there was terrible condemnation of the family for shooting this up-and-coming man, like, you know.
Yes.
But, I mean, that's sort of the area now that I'm trying to, you know, try and finalise. But you don't think there's an awful lot?
I don't think there's an awful lot. It was more or less like the passion before a big match, which evaporates.
I know what you mean, yeah. Well, I think that's about... You don't think there's anything else now about
that? No, I can't, no.
You can't think of anything else, right?
That
I mean, that there was no great difference anywhere.
There's no great difference, no.
Then they were all followers of...
all followers of...
And they were all for home rule, were they?
They're all parliamentary home rule.
They were all parliamentary home rule. And I suppose Sinn Féin would have very little support down here around 1916, Neil, I suppose.
Well, there might have been some more IRB, but apparently this was dead.
It was dead, I suppose. Yeah. I just don't think now. I think I have the data Redmond in. I see 1918, the 1918 election. You gave me the figures.
Yes.
You gave me the figures for that. No, that's about the only problem.
Well, that's great, though.
That we have to. We may have to submit it before the end of the week. You see, we had understood that the competition was not concluding until the end of May, you see. But next thing we discovered that there was someone misread the date, and towards the end of April. Now we have looked for an extension till the end of May, and we could certainly do with it to try and put all our stuff together. But if it is on next Friday, well, we'd have to put in what we have anyway and try and... And try and come along after and start to finish the thing anyway, you know. So when I get it together, and when I have it typed, I'll take you up the copies of it anyway. And I'll give you a look through it and start to see, you know, what do you think of it, like, you know. Well, we've put a lot of time into it anyway.
It's a great interest
in the thing. The thing, yeah, well, it is, I suppose. I don't know, like, sometimes one thinks that a lot of us, at least I hope we have all the facts right anyway. One might say that other people could, you know, maybe put it together better, maybe could use better grammar and things. Yeah, I think so. When we're even, you know, if one could start to fault maybe some of the grammar and things that would be used in it, because
the story is
right, I suppose. One could start to excuse where the full stops, because any of us aren't professionals in that area. You know, that'll have to be excused. Listen, now, I'll do that so, Mr. McCarthy, and as soon as you'll have, as I'll have anything definite, and when I'll have the whole lot together anyway, I'll pop up to some light with it.
Right,
this
is
yeah, grand Thomas McCarthy. Yeah, bye-bye, thank you, bye-bye.
He's gone out from some other conference and he's left me field in the hospital. We'll tackle them, we'll take the top there for that. So see, that's what you should do. Yeah.
But he was in the bank factory last hour, sir.
Jimmy gave us all his 10 minutes above. And then there's the floor and got the day in and she said, from there, I don't know. I'm ordering it from down to us.
From the bank factory?
From the bank factory.
Yeah.
Oh, there. Yeah, from the bank sector.
She's
going to have to get it somewhere. Where did they get anything to eat?
Yeah,
yeah.
Mrs.
Lynch was a great woman. What's she on? She's going to cost me. She's crowds of people. They herself. We're falling every day. They have to come down from the city, cutting them, killing them, that, and Jack Stanton, and fall, and they have their dinner there, and some days they wait for their supper in the night. But she has another bill, son. Didn't she? And you have to sit down the locks and everything. But I never forget it one night I went over the bridge. The baby. And Ned was going away to America this time for months. I said, hey, help me go. She calls and tests and everything
to do.
And there was one of Jim Fitzson calls and says, I know, including him. And there was, I think, 7 or 8 with him. There was 8 of them there anyway. So Jim, she had a lot of mercy with the boat. Maggie was just cutting. Cutting corn for his wood to burn it. And
yeah.
Of course, Maggie was on the other side. And Jim told her something. She was, you're a fool. She to be seen better girl. She's entertaining him. I guess she got home. Don't have one murdering people and everything. So I'll never forget her. She had a bum to sit around in the kitchen when Jim came in. Well, then that's a good genie now to see her meals to talk to. But there's one thing sure to see. There's only one little girl here to sit and do everything. And she's awfully having one to do it. Well, I'll never forget. I said, well, bless them, said Jimmy, and he to say, when they didn't shut the mouth. It was a great village, not from.
Was it?
It was out of the way, like,
four times. Why, it was out of the way, so there was a big round up above one day, and the whole lot of them were just chasing there and down our fields. I said, my God, they could be seen paying for more horses to ladders. However, they weren't seen.
And they weren't seen?
And they weren't seen. They went by the chisel, never left. Yeah, sure, they see you going by the ditch, the Black and Ten, long ago, they'd riddle
it. You used to see much of them up around Pigeon Hill, the Black and Ten?
The Black and Ten, so she did. They never entered inside our door.
Mm-hmm.
No. As many times as they went up, they never came inside the door, the Black and Ten. But we had a free stay 3 times a week, ready. But they know too much thing, they say.
They know the way around.
They know the way around.
But the black and hand just come down the new line, just
there? They were one Sunday and I bought to the wedding Sunday, everything. And Jimmy and Vicky is the last nurse in Thomas and say. And Dennis Mann used to take her run all over this every Sunday. And he was coming down the path and his uncle Milford, he said if he threw himself by the ditch, they could see him from the road plane from our horse, go up.
Mm-hmm.
He continued and go down anyway. And Jimmy and the Kiggins ran out, they told him no. And up through cornfields and the pouring rain for the people, Fatty McCannaman's getting their dinner every Sunday from Mrs. Cannaman. So of course she was paid for. They never stopped running down into the crane, they all went up to that from cornfields. So Mrs. Kiggins get the canoe inside and Jimmy ran for carriage. And all was carried around below. And Matt, there was no going to mountain, but he wasn't in the crowd. But Michigan's was arrested and anyone in the crowd. But the black and tan said, you're the man we're looking for. So Mick said, I have nothing to do with politics anywhere in the world. Well, you're like the man we're looking for, they said. So they brought him home and he said, I was in the Navy. And I had papers at home, he said, no, shanty. So they brought him home and they stopped below it at the old falls, there was no falls below the bridge long ago.
Yeah.
Before they went up home and they, one of these tried to match them up. So they left them outside the door then, outside the way they were, Mrs. Higgins and Redmond and same. So they said, how many sons do you have? And she, they told her, and have a son by the name of Redmond, they said, Michael. She said, I have. So, they said, was he in the Navy any time? They said he was in the Navy. So that's all the information they wanted in there and talking about meeting. Took him marching down the room and searching and he had to show all his papers. Yeah. All for that, Mick was taken.
What, they were looking for him, weren't they?
They were looking for him, but they thought he was some fella that they were looking
for.
Oh,
yes.
So, they're all working in the boat. They're not the nursing and John, your uncle now. And his book, they came in the boat to go. And the mother, and we were met the mother to say, and we were glad after. So she said, because she said, thinking to the very dangerous place you're in, she said, the black intentions are all there to press up the 8 men ladders them. And Jimmy and Mickey can serve from within the past, she said, to give them the cone, so they're all over the canal. So we got them, they're much the way out and up and past all windy and up, all fields. And they see the lads over searching Higgins and all the herb.
Yeah.
The Black and Thames.
Were over searching?
They were on searching while they were living first.
Yeah.
They came all around searching over the Higgins and all the herb and said, let's go there and go. Before they got to the cottage. So my first said to John, is my first day.
He said,
he said to John, see, they are getting time for something to see. Yes, to see that's the reason. Where did they go? Put right down from four holes and into the cover. And they stopped and leave. Until everything was over and they see it's in the meantime back in.
Oh, yes.
Getting time. And they bring me again.
Home. But
they didn't take any photos.
Yeah.
He was in the Navy, and he came over. They could be taken, or he thought he'd told him that they didn't mean it. They were really, he was into some fella that they were looking for. Yeah. Jimmy was going to have a lesson over Sunday from us and said he tell the read, he was around my fella. And he said he told what to do, and I was thinking, and he said, no, that's what it's about. So they came, when they were coming down anyway, who came up again on the Black and Tans. And they let them go so fast, down Higgins' tanks, that when they were at the cross, they hauled them. They didn't have them down, they're catching them.
Oh, yeah?
Only up at the cross, they hauled them, they said, hands up. So they didn't hear them what they said. They said, hands up. And they took time, then they could fall. They went up to the cross, and they said, hands up, and they said, so he said, what's your name? Jim up, they said. Where are you living, they said. And below here in my house, he said. They wanted to know her and he said, send me to her. So then that was the Robert of the Frey, he was running with them. What's your name? Charlie Thompson, looking up. Well, if he happened to take him out to the upper, poor Charlie, as we said, why would you find him?
Well, he gave a fictional name, Abby.
You would be found. will be found that you get the top of the corner of the right or something. So they held them up for a long time anyway. And oh yes, when they didn't halt in the second time, they brought the shot down from the cross.
Where were they situated?
Below the tents. And they were about the cross.
Pigeon Hill cross.
A pigeon, and Jimmy was coming off and us and Charlie was making a boss to get into coming down. But Barry Hurley ran into Dowful, he was special, they made a good tour as well. And she said, Jim must be Shishi and Charlie did the shot. Oh great, God, I didn't know. Getting tents are about the cross, Shishi, ladders of them, Shishi, and therefore the shot down from Shishi. So, all Hurley came up and they thought they were finished him. Kieran Kent didn't give the wrong name altogether, did he give?
Oh yeah.
And they asked him, do you know them tongue in? And our Hurley said, they're doozy. He said, they're only two neighbours. He said, and he said, he didn't know them. They were on the
doctor. They were on the
doctor. Yeah. They were on the neighbours. He said, well, they held him up in front of us and we are having a picnic below us. I believe the same thing. And our hearts were down to our knees altogether. They were having cakes and sandwiches and all that.
It was already.
And the mother said she'd no occasion she to go on the road. But she told him to which then and she was right.
What was the story about that picnic?
Huh?
What was the story about that picnic?
Well, the picnic we all took the same back in hand.
Yeah.
Lord Tom Wins. And we were to have it on side in the little corner alongside the road.
What about the coming man or what from doing it?
We all done it together, yeah. Coming man, the whole lot of it.
Yeah.
All the women. No the heaven was in it and the whole lot was in it. She was home at the tent. So no one said, Nora, we need to watch the picture you talked about in Nora said, oh, the boys like the fruit, the green fruit. Maybe sure the fruit, sometimes you say that Jimmy, the last of us in the south, hit so much that they were there, get the pits and the sister, and while they were tasty, which we would have them in apples, as we said, that was the, they had like to be kept out in anyway. And they drew tablecloths, food from us, and cups, and all over the place. So,
over it went,
is it bad? Huh?
Over it went.
The old baby's ready, and all the same for 30 years
ago. What was a great musician?
All great musicians. So, if we left in the side of the road, we were done, and they're coming back. We never thought they'd come back again.
Yeah.
So we took it above the house, above Webb's house, up in the field. And there was about 50 on my left there. And we said, if any danger, they'll come back. They'll come back again. We had a little muffled gramophone above.
You can't get a gramophone
now. It's a big horn in it. And we couldn't stop it. They said, shut, the breaking tent had gone down. They stopped the bird, the moth. We couldn't stop, they couldn't stop the gramophone and Connie held the cotton, big shawl or big coat, and he stuffed it into the horn. And they stopped there for ages. So that, as the mother said, it already came up the road and went into it. They had about 100 people. They had more or less a shot. So it's an awful drink, so it's got to do.
And
it was in
the
wrong place,
the
road.
Well,
how did
you
place
with
that?
Oh, yes.
And of course, there were trees, like.
And the trees around us was a grand place, and we had the platform and all, and the melodeon and
dancing
and
all. They dancing and all.
The black and tans went off, and we said they'd never come back again.
Yes,
one of the lads said, and if they come back, the whole lot of us got together with. John and Ted was that good to say, and they laughed, and we're friendly to them all. But, this is all your risk, I don't suppose.
And anybody being young and inexperienced, you wouldn't do it.
That's it though. I was talking about youngsters, don't they? They're cracking, aren't they?
Yeah.
What did you do in the coming of man?
Huh?
You were in the coming of man?
Knitting socks, Jim, and making bandages and...
Yeah.
We were all knitting medicine,
sir. I went to the coming of man to all made a lot of myself in the coming of man.
You weren't in that?
No, well, we were the first aid in a car for a big Jack Hilty was coming up. In a car for a bit with feeding dogs around there when the crowd broke up.
Yeah.
That was my first day.
Yeah.
In a car. Both bleeding and after bleeding and things like that. And they got fed up with anyone and they broke it up. So he was you were down with the bleeding and leaving there, right?
We were.
Yeah. And they're good.
They're fine.
They've got a little
like a waiter.
Did you? No.
Careful,
I know, because I think she wanted to go up the shop. She wanted to
go up the shop.
Yeah, we didn't know the cost of both. We were both home. Jimmy knew that about Sally. And Sally was over. And she was not there after them. And she opened the back door and she there's some terrible noise, there's some terrible explosion, she the carriage.
She had this.
And he knew, but of course he had to be over, but he'd be, the first man to be numb. So, if it's just a sit-on woman, that's been finished all night, and so they just came to. So, next day they had him. The day before. The day from the evening now. So they said, well, well last night it was here. Did you carry here last night? She said, oh, man, we are. We had carry here since the day last night. And if you want him to see, you can take him away with you. He's coming here after the doctor to see. And if you want him to see, you can take him away to see with you. But I'm not talking to him, to see. Yeah. That's okay.
He didn't tell her that, did
you? Yeah. That's what we want to know, and also to impress it. So they called Liz. She had to get all over working Liz outside Bondo. And they called herself Mum up in the room. And they called, they were laughing, calling Maggie out. But they were saying, they were saying, yeah, from the other. And they were on the same station as he was here. He had to be there, you see, but he'd been on.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'd have been there.
Yeah.
But it was not the title.
But do you remember any more of the songs then?
Any more of the songs?
The songs?
Can anyone get the songs?
I said to Johnny Rossi, and he said he'd try and get it from me anyway. Johnny Rossi can write.
I know all the songs.
Yeah, you were a good bit of it left, are you?
I had to go there. I had left it off, but I must have forgotten that bit.
Yeah.
Yes, we stopped at first to Kate Murphy's shop, where Molly and Lizzie were ready to drop, and Kate in the kitchen didn't know what to do, and over the ran out in the backyard and over the fields, gave Johnny Hoffman a call and stopped by the first and the part of the fourth. And then she rocked Jolly Fellows down there in the stairs, the bobbies were carried, the razors were carried, and the diddles were there. They burned it out, and bobbies burned down, and on the later they played George the Fifth. King George the
Fifth. Yeah. That's very good, wasn't it?
For great art together.
Who made it?
I don't know who composed it, but they were all doing it together. They were both great. When Pigeon Hill, when the race was over and carried, you could hear them at all hours of night singing that for from Pigeon Hill.
You could.
The carriage all race.
Could you?
You could.
For
the age of that.
They
say George Crumb.
That was the chorus.
That was the chorus of it. Yeah, the chorus of the song. But Jacket O'Grady didn't got it out right. He was walking up in the night. He was walking out of the street in the middle of the night. And Miss Joe, Terry, opened the door. He crossed the light. He stepped with his in for the rest of the night. The chorus and after that.
Another chorus again.
Yeah. As you know, it's first carrying the wall at them, like all those songs now that we made the same that we stayed again. Kevin Zarian, the song of the heroes, and all them.
Yeah.
All these songs that we made again. Yeah.
And Johnny is from Gradius?
For the first Dalek and Earl was taken.
I think so, yeah.
And then Ken was taken.
Flying the second, was it?
The police were taken away, then they never came back.
They were handcuffed and tied down by this guy's name.
Were
they?
They were. And what happened to them?
Well,
they were left over.
When the war was run in, they called the big stage, and the bobbies and razors were handcuffed and tied down by some of the guy's name. And then first, I can't put them around in about the sergeant's wife was in the barrack second. Mm-hmm. There was the theater. And the sergeant tried to open the wife into me. She was taken last night by the heat and sick and the fight that they gave her, she never forget. Just as far as the garbage in this.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But what became of the policeman then? How were they taken away?
They had to go away and look for home, so that's it.
But until the next day, like, until they got
reinforcement? Carrie made a song in about downtown again, they had a big flag up there.
Did you?
The ball where the flag is downtown.
Did you?
She did. They put up some big flags, the green, white, and yellow, and they had put ammunition they had. They the ground downtown up, and they couldn't take it on. And they tried to go, and they couldn't get up there. But Colin made a song about that. Constable Stack couldn't get up because he was so fat. He had it round up, Brandon.
Oh, yeah?
He had. He never talked about that.
No, I never remember that. I forgot that.
He forgot that as well. to Blessington, you did not know what you would be friends.
Are you?
Yeah. But if he stayed, you would not.
Yeah.
What should they order in the Free State? And we said most Free States a week. The Free State, there was no child in the destruction there. Now, Carrie, forgive, she wouldn't say a word to the Black and Tans.
Yeah, I do.
They raided a house below a time after mine. And they never did a bit of harm.
Mm-hmm.
But the Free State, nothing or seven men, horses escape up enough.
Yeah.
And this day they had a girl walking from Cove, and she used to see him go up there. It didn't mean the girl or someone old or someone. So they think they didn't finish the free state chef one messenger. So he had a ladder and he pulled up the ladder off the hall now and gave him his revolver and Lord and thank God. So maybe he didn't get for a week after.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, how can we get up there with it? And mountain and both and gave him the revolver loaded. Or she could come out here, she should show me the way up to it and daddy. Or they said it's all right. So the different route together she would put him with him. But if they made me think to go, he said he'd have the first to call him.
He would.
But she would show letter.
She did.
They said me put the house in my mate, then let him live walking down and then he kept. They came in and there was a Philip and Sally. I said his name was. But he was blind drunk, and he said, if there'll be an ambush within 3 miles radius, he said, it's how the whole country is going. And in fact, he said, we came tonight to bomb that. The house is 77 So they went upstairs and they pulled their medal, and then he kept it on the hall. They said, you've enough, and they said, because of the country.